Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Abba, I ask that you would bring us before your throne, that our knees would bend, that as we hear the word of the Lord today, our hearts would not be hardened, but that you would give us a longing and a desire for you, Lord, in your way. Holy Spirit, that you would come down in power, in might, in glory, in honor, that all praise belongs to you. And in this storm of life, God, give us eyes to see as you see, that we would see the good that you are calling forth, that you would give us a new song of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes I think you just have to read it and sit in it, and it's enough, you know. The word is so powerful. And this is Revelation 5. And the book of Revelation was this revelation that the apostle John had while he was exiled in this island called Patmos. He was thrown there to kind of get rid of him. He was this faithful follower of Jesus. He was one of the 12 disciples. He had given his life and service. And he was thrown away to this island and essentially relegated to the side, not to be heard of or anything like that. But he was in this place that God revealed what was going to come. And he had this incredible vision of what was going to happen. And even preceding these chapters, he gets to see Jesus. Like, he knew Jesus in the flesh, but he got to see Jesus in his glorified state, how he is in heaven and how majestic he was. And every time he sees this, it says like he falls on his face as though dead. You know, like, these aren't casual things. Like, this is heaven that has opened up. So it's like this curtain that was ripped open, and he saw heaven. And the Lord was going to reveal to him the things that were going to play out. And it's absolutely unbelievable. So here's John thrown away in this island. Yet, because God showed him this, and we get to see a glimpse of heaven and a glimpse of God. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we feel like time is wasted. I bet he felt like that way too, and not at all. Like, this revelation happened to the guy when that was cast aside. It's unbelievable. So John is shown this revelation of who God is and what's happening and how this is going to play out. And again and again and again, right at the beginning, the angel says, write down what you see. I'm going to show you things, and you need to write this down so that you can show and tell other people. So again and again in the scripture, he says, I saw this, and I heard this. And sometimes you get this thought that he's trying to put together words as something that's really hard to describe. And you see that often in the book of Revelation. It's like, how do you put words to something? Like, have you ever thought that before? How do you put words to this? So sometimes you really need to sit in this and use your vision to see what is going on. So the first thing in verse 1, he says, so he was seeing the throne room in heaven. That's what chapter 4 is. He's seeing God on the throne, and there's peals of thunder. It's the train of his robe is filling the temple. It's so majestic. It's unbelievable. And he describes four living creatures circling around the throne of God, worshiping God. And then there's 24 elders on thrones, and they're worshiping God. And it is absolutely majestic, absolutely awesome. For all of time, he is being worshipped because he is worthy of all worship. So our simple worship is, here's the deal, like, it's not like he needs your worship. He's being worshipped by majestic creatures, and he's inviting us into that worship. It's absolutely awesome. So chapter 5 is kind of a change in scenery. It says, and I saw the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. So God the Father on the throne over all things. He saw this scroll. He saw this scroll, and it was written within and on the back and sealed with seven seals. So what's the deal with the scroll? What is this scroll? So the first thing we know is that it's significant. There's something about this that is really important, but it's sealed. It says that no one could open it. It was closed, and there's so many thoughts on what this is. So I just want to kind of blow through a few things, and it's so hard. Some of these things in Revelation, you kind of have an idea, but to say specifically is really tough, but a lot of people think that this is God's will. Something we know about this is that it's things that are to come. So it's kind of like God's unfolding of the future. What God's will is in the future is all wrapped up. It's redemption history. How does this play out? You know, we keep on praying, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. And these things are kind of wrapped up and sealed, and no one can unlock that. It's God's final settlement of affairs in the universe. It's I believe, the story of how God plays out the story. And it's sealed. No one has access to it. And it's sitting right there by the Father. And it says there, and I saw a mighty angel. Okay, I want you to, like, not a wimpy angel if there's ever a thing. This is a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice. And he says, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? Who is worthy? And this statement is ushered to everyone. Who is worthy? And no one was worthy. In essence, this God's will, how he's going to play out history, how the redemption story is going to unfold in the end. And he said, who is worthy to open this up? No one is. A little side note, and one of the reasons we think this is kind of like God's will is actually in Roman times, a will would be on parchment or papyrus and would have seals, and actually a will would have seven seals on it. So that's why we think this is kind of God's will. It's how this unfolds. So the angel has it, and it's sealed up so no one can open it. Who is worthy? Remember, this is a strong angel issuing a question with a loud voice, and no one in all creation answers because no one can touch it. No one can open up how this story unfolds. No one can touch it. And there's this sense that there's this longing in all of creation for the redemption. There's this longing for the things that have been broken to be made right. But what they're saying is, like, the answer to that is presented. Who is worthy to unlock this, to finish the story? And no one's able to respond to it. It's really pretty amazing. All of creation is utterly incapable of deciding or affecting our own destiny, how this plays out. There's only one person. Unbelievable. And then after this, when this great question is presented, verse 3, no one is able to. And verse 4 says, and I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look at it. Amazing. So here's John. He knows what the scroll is. Remember, it's written on both sides. So he kind of, I think, sees a little bit about what that is, but doesn't see what the contents are. And he's like, who's going to open this so that we see how this plays out? Like, we just talked about how he overcame. I mean, the scroll is going to unfold how this plays out. How is he going to overcome in history at the end of time? How is he going to overcome? And he's weeping loudly because he's like, who's worthy to open this? And no one answers. So this is significant. He's weeping loudly. He's just like, someone has to open this so that it's unfolded. There has to be someone who overcomes in the end. I've seen Christ in his victory, but how does this play out? That's why he's so emotional about this, and he's weeping loudly. So verse 4, I began to weep, and then verse 5 says, and one of the elders, remember there's four elders, one of the elders came to him, and he said, weep no more. Why? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So the Lion of the tribe of Judah is talking about the Messiah. The root of David is talking about that was through the promise, the anointing one was going to come through the line of David. So he's saying, behold, you don't have to cry anymore. You don't have to worry how this plays out in the end anymore because of the Lion of Judah, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one from the root of David. He has overcome. So there's a name to this person. There's a name to the line of Judah. There's a name to the root of David. The Messiah has a name, and his name is Jesus, the rescuer of the world. So he's saying, you don't have to cry because you don't see how this ends anymore. Why? Because he is worthy to unlock all these things. He has overcome. So you don't need to weep anymore. And he can open up the scroll and its seven seals because he has conquered. He's conquered. You know what's just so beautiful is we reflect on Jesus and the cross, and he paid for our sins. And I mean, what an incredible sacrifice. But the victory that was won was so significant that all of heaven is just in awe of this. You know, like John's just saying, like, how is this going to end? He's like, you don't need to weep anymore. He's overcome. He's worthy to unlock all of this. He has overcome. But beloved, part of the reason we have this is that if we believe this, man, it changes how we live. Because we don't have to weep not knowing how this plays out, because he has overcome. Isn't it Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have hardship, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen. Right? Amen. So don't weep anymore. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes being a Christian, you kind of feel picked on, especially living in Sonoma County. But But beloved, you need to know how this plays out. You need to know how this plays out. He has overcome. It's awesome. Jesus is the key that unlocks the mystery of history. Jesus is the key, this mystery, this scroll that no one knows what's in it, but we know it's like, how does this play out? He's the key. And he is able because he has overcome. And then something unbelievable happens. So remember the elders saying the lion has conquered. But then verse 6 says, then between the throne and the four living creatures and amongst the elders, I saw a lamb standing. Isn't that interesting? So he's saying the lion has conquered. And you know what? That's easiest to say, yeah, the lion. But do you know how the lion is presented? As a lamb. So the lion is presented as a lamb. The lamb that was slain. But look at this. He says, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. It looks like he had been slain. So you need to know this. Like something happened in the past. He had been slain, but he is alive. But he is carrying on him the marks of the sacrifice. So one thing that is so incredible is that the cross, when Jesus paid for our sin, that's not an event that happened and we're like, woo, he's overcome and we all move on. No, this sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice is ever before the Father. Our covering, our payment for sin is ever before the Father. Isn't that incredible? That's why we have freedom as believers in Christ. Like once we confess that we've sinned, we've fallen short of God's glory, and we've surrendered our lives to him, and even when we mess up, That sacrifice is right before the Father. That's why it says that we can come boldly before his presence. Why? Because the Lamb that was slain is there, and his blood is over us and covers us. Isn't that awesome? It's beautiful. I saw a lamb standing alive as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. Now, you might think it's like, I can't see that. But one thing you need to know is that horns are a symbol of power, okay? And eyes are a symbol of knowledge. So remember, like, he's describing, okay, this is the lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's a lamb, a little delicate lamb that looks like it was slain, but it has seven horns. You know what seven means? It means perfect. So perfect power. So this lamb that looks like it was slain has perfect power and who has all knowledge. So it's not like he's a weak little lamb, poor Jesus. No, this is the lion presenting himself as the lamb, but the lamb is all powerful. The lamb knows all things. It's beautiful. The lion is like the lamb, and the lamb is like a lion. You know, I think, again, he just, God's ways aren't our ways. Thank God that God's ways are not our ways. I was thinking about team sports, and I was thinking about, like, okay, if you called your team the Lions, like, how awesome that would be. I'd cheer for you. Part of the Lions? Yeah, go Lions. Conquer. But I think of, like, if you would call your team, like, we are of the Lamb, you know, like, go Lambs. You know, like, how could you get excited about that? But do you know, like, we are on the team of the Lamb that looks like it was slain, yet has all power and knows all things. This isn't no little Mary had a little lamb, like, this is the lamb that has purchased men for God and overcame and trampled on our enemies. Amen. Worthy is the lamb that was slain with the sacrifice ever before God. In verse 7, and he went and took the scroll. Can we pause there? So he took that scroll. Remember, John is weeping over the scroll. No one's worthy. Now, here's the deal. All these mighty angels, no one could touch this thing. All of a sudden, the Lamb, Jesus, takes the scroll. He's worthy. He's the only one. He's the only one who's worthy. And he took the scroll. I love that. Just that little, he took the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. So God the Father has it, and Jesus takes it. And he's going to unlock all of history in the end. Isn't that awesome? So we don't need to weep how this story plays out. Like, because of the Lamb. It's beautiful. Verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So you need to know this. Like, as soon as Jesus takes the scroll, immediately these majestic creatures that honestly, if we saw them, we'd be worshiping them. They are awesome, right? And these elders up in heaven, like, these are incredible beings. Like, we look like little ants compared to the majesty of these created creatures that worship God. So as soon as Jesus, the Lamb, takes the scroll, immediately all these majestic living creatures fall down and they just worship. And the 24 elders fall down right away and worship immediately happens as soon as Jesus grabs those scrolls to unlock history and how it plays out. Unbelievable. One thing I was thinking about is, you know, like here in worship, like we have a worship leader, worship team. Kind of help us lead us into worship. When Jesus grabs the scroll, worship just happens. We don't need to be led in worship. We don't have to set the tone. Worship just happens. And it says that each is grabbing a heart. And this isn't one of those Cupid hearts, you know, for Valentine's. It's like, come on now. But there's music that's happening. And it says that they grab these golden bowls full of incense. And these are the prayers of the saints. Beloved, you need to know that every prayer that we pray is kept. It's kept. Jesus keeps them. Heaven records them. And it says that it's incense. It's a fragrant offering to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? All those stupid little prayers you prayed in faith, he keeps them. And it's a fragrant offering. Isn't that awesome? That's why we have to be a people who pray. I want City Alliance folks to have a big part of the bowl, you know, like lots of incense to God. So they're worshiping with these harps, with music, and as they're worshiping, they're bringing forth the prayers of the saints. You can't help but think, how did Jesus say to pray? May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, like, God, have your way here. So all these things that the people of God has prayed, like they are offered up to God in the end. Isn't that beautiful? And do you know what? All those prayers are going to be fulfilled completely. And God loves hearing those prayers. They smell so good to him. And it's not just us presenting them. Hey, God, over here, throwing up our little prayer. These majestic beings are presenting the prayers to the Lord. So back to this. Jesus grabs the scroll, and all of a sudden, worship falls on heaven. And the four living creatures just bow down. And so much worship is happening. It says that they sing a new song. So I want you to hear, they sing, you know. So We can't be afraid of singing here. I don't care how unpopular it might become to sing out loud in church. They sing in heaven. If they sing in heaven, we're going to learn how to sing here on earth. We'll have practice if we need to, you know, to kind of get past ourselves. But if they sing in heaven, we need to get ready here like we sing on earth. So can I just encourage you? I don't care how you sound. The most beautiful noise is just a hungry heart for the Lord. Ah, there's nothing more beautiful. But worship happens when you get past yourself and you actually look at who you're worshiping to. So they sing a new song, and the significance of that isn't because it's like no one's ever heard of this song, like it's the artist came out with a new song. Check out these cool lyrics. The whole idea of a new song is it's speaking that it is an excellent song. It is the perfect song. It is the most valuable song. It has the most significance. So listen to this song that wasn't authored by humans. It was authored in heaven. So this new song says, "Worthy are you, worthy are you, Jesus, to take the scroll and unlock the end, to open its seals, for you were slain." Talking about the cross, you were slain, you were crucified, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. That's the new song. Isn't that awesome? He's talking about us. They're talking about us. They're singing about us. Worthy is Jesus. And it says, by your blood, you ransomed people for God. Like, you need to know, like, when Jesus was on the cross, when he paid for our sin, he broke us out of prison. He ransomed us. He paid for us and rescued us from the grasp of the evil one. We've been ransomed, paid for. Like, this was no small thing that Jesus did. There was a transaction that happened. We were owned and enslaved because of our sins. But he has ransomed us, rescued us, paid for us, and we now belong to him. In 1 Corinthians, it says, your body's not your own. You've been bought at a price. Someone died for you to be free. So therefore, honor God with your body. Right? That's how we respond. You were slain by your blood. You ransomed. You rescued people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Isn't that awesome? God loves the whole world, all over Africa, Asia, here, even Santa Rosa. We're going to be represented. And do you know what? Like, this isn't all going to be done until every tribe is tongue, nation, ethnic group has heard the good news of Jesus. Go into all the world, right? That's what Jesus said. Go tell them this good news. Why? Because he wants everyone there. He wants everyone there, everyone rescued, for everyone to have a chance to come to faith in Christ. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. So here's the deal. Because we've been adopted as sons and daughters in his kingdom, we're royalty in heaven. What? Yes, royalty. He has made us a kingdom of priests even. So here's the deal. Like, you don't need to go to a priest to have access to God. He said he's going to make us a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? It means that we have access to God because we have one mediator between us and God, Jesus Christ. Isn't it unbelievable? You need to know who you are, beloved. Life would forever change if we knew what the angels knew. It would change everything. May God give you eyes to see and believe what we're talking about this morning. He has made us to be a kingdom and priest to our God. It says they shall reign on the earth. He's not talking about just him reigning. He's talking about we will reign. What? I don't know how that works, but it's just going to happen. It's going to be amazing. So this, all of a sudden, worship is erupting in heaven, and it's the four living creatures, it's the elders, they're singing a new song. And then go to verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands and thousands. So you need to know that he's talking about hundreds of millions. That's what he's painting a picture of. So there's four creatures, then there's 24 elders, and then all of a sudden he's seeing hundreds of millions of angels around the throne. Can you picture that? I can't. Just as far as you can see, angels everywhere. And they are saying with a loud voice. I mean, can you imagine one angel with a loud voice? This is hundreds of millions of angels with a loud voice saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Isn't that awesome? I want to be there. And you don't want to miss this. This is awesome. You need to know this isn't a fairy tale. Like, this is going to happen. This worship service is going to happen. And it's going to be amazing. You know, a while ago, I think this is right after college, I went to this conference called Urbana, and it was in Illinois. It's for college students, and it was right around New Year's. That's when they had it. And there was this, the stadium was, it looked like a UFO. It was like a circular stadium, and there was about 20,000 of us there. And New Year's, we were worshiping. Like, it was memorable for sure. So I remember 20,000 voices worshiping God. And it was special. It was really cool. But I think of hundreds of millions of angels, 20,000 people singing. You think that's special? Hundreds of millions of angels worshiping God, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing." Amen. Amen. So you need to know that there's another wave of worshiping going to happen, though. And then verse 13 says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that was in them." This is every created being ever for all time. Think about that. Every human being. It's talking about every fish, every anything that's living. You know, like the scripture says, if you don't cry out, the rocks are going to cry out. So you got the living creatures and the elders. Whoa, that's awesome. You have hundreds of millions. Whoa, that's amazing. Then every single living creature. Now, these are talking about even fallen creatures, fallen angels. Everyone is worshiping now, every created being. That is unbelievable. Beloved, this is how it ends. This is how it ends. Every creature. To him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb who was slain, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. You know, Philippians 2 says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's how this story ends. Isn't that awesome? You know, a while ago we went to Handel's Messiah in San Francisco, and this was really a significant event for me. I paused and I wasn't going to sing what they sing, but you know, Handel's Messiah, there's this part in it where everyone rises up and declares who Jesus is, and he shall reign forever and ever. Who are they talking about? Jesus. So we are in San Francisco. I don't know if you know this, but the Christian population isn't that great. So we're in a packed symphony, Handel's Messiah. I literally, like, tears are coming down my eyes as I'm listening. What is happening? The things that are being said. It is so beautiful. And at that point, the whole audience stands up as they declare Jesus, as he is going to reign forever and ever and ever. And everyone is at attention. I was just like, oh my God. This is just a small glimpse of what's going to happen at the end when every creature is going to bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is God, that he is Lord, that he is worthy, that all honor and blessing and power and glory and might and strength belongs to him. He is the last one that no other names are going to be remembered. It's just Jesus. All this worship is going to Jesus. And I can't help but think about neighbors that we know, maybe family members that we know, co-workers. They're like, that person will never say Jesus in a good way, you know? But this is how the story ends. Every creature, I don't care how anti-God anyone is here, how blasphemous they are towards God, how against you they might be because of your faith, it doesn't matter. This is how it plays out. When Jesus gets the scroll, when this all unfolds, guess what? Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses that Jesus is the Lord. And they say to him who sits to the throne and to the Lamb, blessing, honor, glory, and might forever. Amen. And then after that, it says the four living creatures say, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I want you to just sit here for a little bit. Because I don't know if you were paying attention, but that was awesome. Right? I'd like to say this together, if we can. And we'll probably say it again sometime while we're here on earth. But you need to know that we will be saying these words in heaven with hundreds of millions of angels and every living creature. That neighbor of yours who cusses like no one else and who hates God is going to be saying this. What? Let's start here. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Can we say it again? To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Worship team, can you come up? Can I encourage you to just close? You don't have to close your eyes, but if you want to, just close your eyes. And I want you to just sit in this. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit's kind of talked to you about. I don't know if it's, you know, like it makes you excited. Maybe it's just like, oh. You just feel maybe distant from God, that you have some stuff you need to work out with God. There's some ways that you need to turn to him. Maybe you've been saying no to him. And you know Jesus is saying, just come to me. Come to me. We're going to worship. And then we are going to celebrate communion. If you would like prayer, we're going to be in the back to pray. Beloved, this is how it all unfolds. And we're not going to be lost. We're not going to be hopeless. We are going to be standing with him who has overcome. Amen. Like I said, if you like prayer, please join us in the back. We'd love to pray for you. The rest of us, let's prepare and be ready for remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen.